you guys are a hearty bunch. This is the fourth week of talking about how happiness happens. How happiness happens, according to what the world says, is what you get. You get the right stuff and you're happy. And God turns that upside down. He says, no, you want to be happy. He says it's about giving to other people. So we're going through the one another's. We've done encourage one another. And I got to tell you, somebody listened really well that day. Yesterday, Terry Larson came over to give my wife some stuff for doing Sunday school. And as he opened, he goes, well, what's this stuff by your front door? There was a note, and there was a little thing of cookies and a thing of carrots. And it says, thanks for serving at Snyder Bible Church. A little something to say thanks, both healthy and not so healthy. So I'm eating the cookies. I gave the carrots to my wife. It is just a great deal. And somebody listened. As we were talking about encouraging, remember we were in Hebrews 10, and it talked about consider how to spur one another. And it means really think about what you're going to do that can really encourage somebody. Somebody knew how to encourage Brian. Chocolate cookies, man, it is a great thing. We also talked about bearing with one another, tolerating each other, because we're all weird. It's okay to shake your head. We're all different. Regard one another more as more important. We talked about greeting one another. And by the way, I'd like to thank some women in the audience today. I understand when I was talking about greeting each other with a holy kiss, there was a few men that wanted to come up and give me a holy kiss, but the wives were holding them down. That's what I've been told, so I am thankful to whatever women did that. That's very good. Then we talked about pray for one another. That was one we did last week. We're going to do two different ones this week, and I was telling Cindy earlier, man, I love the one that we're talking about, and I really don't want to talk about the next one because it really convicts me right here, and it was a little hard for me to understand. And as I was studying it, there was so much information coming at me, and God was helping me sort it out, and there was just so much. But as we talked about last week, when you pray, one of the things you can pray for other people is that God would open doors for them and that God would give them a clarity of speech. So this morning, we're going to pray that God gives me clarity of speech and the other teachers as they're teaching Sunday school this morning. So let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we are thankful for the love that you give us. We're thankful so much for the church body you've given us here at Snyder that we can enjoy. Father, we're thankful for people that are willing to be Sunday school teachers. And I just like to pray this morning that for all the teachers, from the little kids right on up, Father God, open doors to people's hearts. Get people ready to receive your word. And then, Father, help the teachers to speak with clarity so that people will understand exactly what an amazing God you are and what you want us to do. Just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the first one here, I had made a list here, and I'm just going to tell you a list of names right here, starting this morning. Bill Myers, Dave Liederbrand. By the way, that's a name I haven't thought of in probably 30 years. Crazy. Joy Vogel, Doug and Jackie Lynch, Dave Kuchar, Russ Matsky, some camp counselor I can't even remember his stinking name. Clay Prawl, Todd Gerritsen, Craig Van Schoonefeld. You know who those people are? You know one of them? Who do you know? Joy, shut up. Okay, I mean, anyway, and nobody knows Joy Vogel. I didn't know anybody else in here did. This is a list of people that have served Brian. These are a list of people that as I was growing up in the church, people that took a special interest in Brian, people that taught Brian, people that did things for Brian, and they served me. And so today we're going to be talking about serving one another. And I was just going through this list, and I'm going, it's so cool. Sometimes we think of people that serve as, oh, the pastor, he's a servant of God. Oh, them prayer warriors that just pray 23 hours of the day. Those are servants of God. And I started thinking about the people that have served me. And I'm looking on this list, and I'm going, Bill Myers. A guy that used to be a police officer, so he'd be at the back of the church on Sunday mornings. And, you know, a lot of people are like, get them little kids away from me. Not Bill. He's back there telling us how to do a pinky hold on a guy and how to get somebody's arm behind their back. And I loved the way Bill loved the Lord, and he loved kids. And I'm going, he served me and made me want to be a Christian. It was cool. Dave Liederbrand, some crazy guy that taught like a third and fourth grade Sunday school class. I was just sitting there thinking of people that served me, and his name came to my mind. I haven't thought of it seriously in 35 years. He was crazy enough to take those third and fourth graders, there's about six of us, and take us to the mountains and let us sleep in a tent. It's his fault. I have a nice thing right here because I was using a knife. He goes, Brian, be careful. I said, I know what I'm doing, Dave. And then pretty soon I slid it down to the bone. Anyway, I was whittling by the fire, but Dave Liederbrand cared enough about kids, not just to teach Sunday school class, but say, I love you guys. Let's go on a trip together. Let's go look at God's creation together. And I'm going, what a man. Joy Vogel. She was a gal, man, my family, we were in church every time the doors were open. Wednesday nights was prayer meeting. And if it wasn't for Joy Vogel, I would have had to have been sitting upstairs watching adults pray for an hour. Instead, Joy came. She goes, you know what? I want to tell missionary stories to the kids. I want to teach them. I want to sing with them. Joy Vogel, that's what she did. And she loved his kids, and she had a purse that was made out of leather that was about this big, and it was always full of candy. I love Joy Vogel, and she loved the Lord, and she just, her face just glowed, and I'm going, she served me well. Russ Matsky, a pastor that I had growing up, and he always challenged me all the time. We'd be talking about something, he'd go, chapter and verse, Brian. You don't have chapter and verse, don't even talk to me about it. And he taught me the importance of getting into Scripture and saying, if I'm going to believe something in life, I need to go in and I need to find a chapter and a verse and say, this is what God's Word says. Dave Kuchar, my best friend, man, all the times he helped with youth group and stuff and just helped me grow. A camp counselor who took the time to not just make sure us kids weren't getting in trouble in the girls' dorms or turning canoes over and stuff. He took the time to say, Brian, let's talk to you about what's your quiet time like. Do you spend time with God each day? Do you know what it means to do that, Brian? Let's sit down and look at verse John 10:10. And he sat down and opened up the word in John 10:10. I've come, you might have life and have it more abundantly. Brian, is your life more abundant? Would you say it's full? And this guy, I'm just going, wow. Some college kid that took the time to be a counselor and took an interest and he served Brian. Clay Prawl at NJC, he was the leader of the Christian group there. What a man. Go for it, kids. I mean, it's just what a man. I love that. Todd Gerritsen, the Gerritsen Sports Center up in Greeley. His dad is Zeke Gerritsen, so he's Zeke's son. Going up to college and trying to fit into a church. You know what it's like going to a new place and trying to fit into a church? It's not easy. You go to different places, nobody remembers you. I went to the E-Free Church there in Eaton, and then pretty soon Todd's going, hey, I have a Sunday school class just for people your age. Brian, come on over. And I was like, okay. So Don and I went to that, and then he says, hey, by the way, Super Bowl's next Sunday. Come on over to the house. And it's like, all of a sudden, he's inviting us in to get attached, to be wrong people. And I'm going, man, he served me well. Craig Van Schoonefeld, the guy that delivered our kids. What a neat Christian man. But, boy, you're going to talk to Craig, and you're going to talk about Scripture, and he's going to ask you about your life and what God's been teaching you. And he wants to know that before he wants to know what's wrong with you. You may have a limb hanging off, but the first thing he's going to do, what's God been teaching you lately, Brian? I got to know. What have you been studying? And he just wants to know, help me grow. And I didn't even talk about the people in this church. I didn't talk about our brothers and sisters. But serving one another. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And I may spend a lot of time on the serving one another because the one after it is the one that kind of hits me right here and I don't like so much. But we're going to go over it anyway, okay? Galatians 5, 13. Awesome. Galatians 5:13, it says, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I went in here and I love what it says. I don't read the message a lot, but I was reading what the message says about that. And we're supposed to serve one another. And this is what it said in the message. It says, it is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy the freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? This is cool as you're taking a look here in Galatians 5, and he's telling us, he's saying, you know what? I want you guys to love one another. Love on one another. And he's talking about that from a place where he's been talking about freedom for the last 30-some verses. Man, you are free from sin. Man, you are free from guilt. Man, you are free from all those ceremonial things you used to have to do in order to have salvation. You guys are now free from that because of Jesus. And he's talking about the importance of freedom. And everybody's going, woo, freedom. I don't know about you, but when I'm free, I like going, man, now I can do whatever I want. I write it on my board every day for 3:15 when we get out of school. A freedom, and the kids are like, you bet, now I get to go do what I want. Here we're talking about, hey, you guys have all this freedom in Christ, and first thing we think of, well, I'm going to do what I want. And he says, no, let's turn that upside down. Because you have this freedom, because you've been freed from sin, and you've been freed from guilt, and you've been freed from doing all these things, I want you to use that freedom now to do something and to serve one another. And serve one another. So that's what he's talking about there. And going, you know, sometimes when we do think about people that serve, we think of people that do serving. Oh, missionaries. Oh, pastors. I love 1 Peter 4:10. Would you turn there with me? 1 Peter 4:10. Love this verse. First Peter 4:10. And it says this, as each one of you has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I love that it says in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, and each one of you has received a special gift. So I'm going, great. You mean it's not just the preachers? It's not just the missionaries? It's just not the people like my mom that could kneel down and pray for hours for people. It's not just them that serve. It says, no, each one of us has been given a gift. And he says, because you've been given that gift, he says, I want you to use that to serve other people. I love what it says, employ it in serving one another as stewards of the manifold grace of God. Those gifts that you've been given, you're a steward of that. God gave that to you. God says, here, I'm going to gift you in this way, Tim Grobberger. I want you to have these gifts. It says, that's not just so you can serve yourself. I want you to use that to serve other people. And you're going, okay, if Tim's going to be a good steward of what God gave him, Tim's going to go, okay, guys. And Tim does. God gave Tim the gift of cooking breakfast on a camp stove. He's given Tim a whole lot of gifts, but I'm telling you what, we go to our men's camp out, and every morning, come and eat, boys. And Tim has been up in the stuff that he makes. Oh, my goodness. And I'm just going, he's got a gift, and he's using it to serve other people. And we're each supposed to do that. Makes you think for a second, okay, what gifts has God given you? Has he given you the gift of being able to see when somebody needs to be encouraged? Has he given you the gift maybe of teaching? Maybe he's given you the gift of helps. When somebody needs something, you're going, you know what? I can go do that. I can go help with that. There's so many gifts that he gives us. And as I take a look at this a little bit, I was looking at serving. This is all these one another's are things that you guys know about. This is just reminders. I'm not telling you anything new. If I asked if anybody in here had never heard, has anybody ever told you to serve one another? Everybody would be going, of course we have. We've learned about this. I'd like to look at a couple of examples of people that were servants. Turn with me to John chapter 1. By the way, if you get the chance sometime this week, sit down, reflect back on your life, make a list of those people that served you well, that helped you learn or grow in your walk with Christ. I just tell you, what an encouraging thing. I'm sitting there thinking about these people, and I'm going, as I'm thinking about that, I was thinking about Christian. Christian had some people take him in, and they told him about God, and they told him about Jesus and how to accept. And when he accepted Jesus, he goes, I want to do the same thing. I want to do this for other people. What they did for me is amazing. And so as you write your list out of ways that people have served you, it makes you inside go, you know what? They did that for me. I wonder if I could do that for somebody. I wonder if there's somebody that I could encourage in some special way. But here, let's take a look here at John chapter 1 and verse 41. And we're going to take a look at Andrew, who was Peter's brother. Now, yeah, everybody, when we think of servants, we think Peter, what a servant. We think of Paul, what a servant. We look at all the stuff that they've done, and you give Andrew, and everybody's going, Andrew? What does the Bible say about Andrew? What does he do? Kind of interesting. He's a great servant of God. John chapter 1, verses 40 and 41. And it says, one of the two who heard John speak. Well, what did they hear John speak? If you look in chapter 1 there at verse 28, there's John, and he's talking about, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John is saying, you know what? Don't follow me, guys. Follow this guy. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Andrew was there when he said that. Andrew was there and he heard that. And then what happened in 40? It says, one of the two who heard John speak followed him, and was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. In verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas." And I'm going, well, so what did Andrew do? What was his big servant thing? You know what? When he was following John the Baptist, and John says, "Hey, guys, it's not about me. It's about somebody greater. Here is Jesus. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is the guy you follow." As soon as he heard that, he's going, "Where's my brother? I got to tell Peter." And it says he went and got Peter, and he grabbed Peter and says, "Peter, you got to see this guy. You got to come follow. This is the guy. This is the one we've been waiting. This is the one we won't be wasting our time on. Come on, Peter." And he grabbed him and he took him to him. It's interesting. Andrew's only mentioned a couple of other times. Once where there was the feeding of the 5,000 and some boy got brought to Jesus carrying, what, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? Well, guess who brought him? It was Andrew. What did he do? He brought somebody to Jesus. There's another spot where Andrew's talked about in here. There's some Greeks, and the Greeks are wondering about things. They're wondering about, who is this Jesus guy? What does Andrew do? Pretty simple. He grabs them, and he takes them to Jesus. And I'm going, man, when it comes to servanthood, there are a million things we can do to serve one another. There really are. And I'm going, you know what one thing we can all do a little bit? We can bring people to Jesus. We can be like Andrew. When there's a special event, you can grab somebody and say, "Hey, why don't you come along with me?" I had somebody last week call me and say, "Hey, Brian, when's that Bible study on Wednesday, and what's it about?" And this person was going, "I want to know because I want to invite somebody." And I went, that person is being an Andrew. They're going, "I want to bring somebody to Jesus." Some people have that gift. I know there are people in this room. I look around at the church on Sundays, and I see people. And I see people that are excited about bringing other people to see Jesus. Sometimes look at my daughter, Laura, and she is a wonderful, sweet, giving, wonderful. And I'm wondering sometimes how I love her to death. And I'm just going, are you really growing? And I kind of wonder things. You know what? Her and her husband, they go to church in Greeley. That's where he got saved. And I tell you what, I probably once a month or maybe once every 2 months at the least that much, they invite people and they take them to church. They do. And I'm trying to think of the last time I brought somebody to church. And I start going, oh, boy. And I'm going, but my daughter and her husband, man, he has relatives coming in from Texas and stuff. And the first thing he says is, "Come on, we'll go to church on Sunday. Then we'll go hiking or we'll go snowshoeing." But he is just great at going, "Hey, I'm going to grab them and I'm going to take them to church." And you know what their pastor says? Their pastor, about every week, I've been there a few times. And each time we show up, and one of the things he does is he looks at everybody and says, "Hey, you did your job. I see some new faces in here." He says, "Your job is to ask your friends and your family and your coworkers and bring them here." He says, "My job to tell them about Jesus." And he says, "Thank you for doing that." And I'm going, wow, a church that's really focused on bringing people to Jesus. And I'm going, oh, my daughter's fantastic at that. It's really cool. Let's take a look at another servant. Look at Luke chapter 1, just before John there. Luke chapter 1. Boy, we could spend all day just looking at different servants. I just picked out a few to look at here for a second. Luke chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 38. I love this, and it says, "And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave,'" or the servant, "'the servant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word.'" Boy, I take a look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, and I'm going, you know, she was a servant. She was a servant. She says, "God, whatever you want, let it be what you said. I want to serve you." And I'm going, we're all going, oh, isn't that sweet? An angel came and told her what was going on, and she says, "Okay, God, whatever you want, I'll do that." Can you think about what the angel was asking her to do for a second? Sometimes serving is not easy. There she is. She's going, okay, what you're telling me is that I'm engaged to this handsome guy named Joseph. I'm engaged to him, and what you're telling me is that the Spirit of God's going to come upon me, and I'm going to be pregnant. And I know that old Joseph, he's handsome and all, but we've followed things, and we have not gotten together yet. I had sex. I am a virgin. And when I get pregnant and I start showing, he's going to look at me and goes, I know it's not me. What's he going to think of me? What are the people around me going to think? They're going to know that I'm engaged to him. And when he says it's not his baby, people are going, what has she been doing? She's been fooling around. She's been committing adultery. What was the penalty for committing adultery back then? Stoning. So here when she says, you know, she says, may it be done to me according to your word. She's a servant. But she's a servant going, you know what? I know what he's asking me to do. And I know what it's going to look like to other people. I know people are going to be talking about me. People are going to say things. People are going to be mean to me because of what's going to happen. But you know what? God, let me be your servant. As you've said, let it happen to me. I'm going, what a lesson for us to think about. We're servants when it's convenient for us. What about maybe you're being asked to do something, or maybe you're feeling the nudge of the Holy Spirit saying, you know what, there's this need at the church, or there's this need with somebody down the street, and you're feeling that nudge like you ought to go do it, but you're going, well, surely God's going to get somebody else. That could be really messy for me to go get involved with that family. Well, I've thought that. I had a kid in my class who had two moms. And I'm looking at the situation. He needed stuff. And I felt like God was telling me, Brian, you got to go connect with that kid. You got to help him out. The last thing I wanted to do was go and be around his two moms. How awkward for me. How weird for me. And they knew that I believed differently. And it's just like one of those things where I'm going, you know, God, I know what you want me to do, but can't you send Kenny? James, do you happen to know him, please? Would you go do this? Because, and too many times when God says, I want you to be a servant, and he's nudging you to go in a direction, you're like, you know, I'm just going to let some water get underneath the bridge. I'm going to take a little bit of time, and maybe somebody else will do it. Sometimes it means, you know what, I'm going to go get involved with them, and people are going to be going, Brian, what are you doing? Going, hanging around the homosexuals. Why is it you're being kind of, aren't there plenty of other people for you to hang around? You know what? Those people need Jesus. And God said, Brian, you have an in right now. You have their kid in your class, and you get along good with them. I think I want you to do part of that. I tell you what, I was thinking nothing like what Mary was thinking. The last thing I was thinking is, oh, God, whatever it is you want, let it be done with me. I'm going, I wanted to fight it. But I think this is just cool. Then Mary just goes, I know this is going to be rough. I know what's going to happen, but God, I want to be your servant. So just as you've said, let it happen to me. I was just moved as I read through that. Let's turn to one other place. Turn to John chapter 21. John 21. We've talked about Andrew. We've talked about Mary a little bit. John 21. John 21, verse 12. First of all, we have to take it 21, verse 3. This is Tim Grobberger's life verse. 21, verse 3. It says, Simon Peter said to them, I am a-going a-fishing. Okay, so that's Tim Grover. He loves to go fishing. Now let's move over. Let's go John 21, verse 12. I had to do that. In verse 12, it says, and Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, you got to know what's happening here. Jesus has just been crucified. He raised from the dead, and he was going to show himself again to people. And here's Peter, and Peter's going, I can't just stand around this room anymore. I'm going fishing. And the other guys go, we're with you, Pete. Let's go fishing, because that's what they knew, what was comfortable. Let's go fishing. So they go out fishing. As they're coming in near the shore, there's somebody near the shore, and they got a little campfire going. And there they get going on, and pretty soon, what's Jesus doing there? And it says, come and have breakfast. And I'm going, wait a minute here. Our ultimate example in who we should be following as far as a servanthood should be Jesus. And I'm going, Jesus just did something nobody in this world has ever done before. He was crucified and he rose from the grave. He conquered death. Does anybody else know anybody else that was dead for 3 days and has come back? Go ahead, raise your hand. I want to give you some props. That has never happened before. Jesus did that. He was a humble servant when he came to this earth. But now he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has done something nobody else has ever done. And most people should be looking at Jesus going, you are the... nobody's ever done that, but you should just be speechless. And people should be running to him going, what can I do to serve you, Jesus? You have just taken care of my sin problem for eternity. What can I do to serve you? And instead, Jesus is on the beach saying, guys, let me cook you breakfast. Got some bread here, got the fire going. got some nice fish. Not sure as they're as good as Tim's when he's cooking the brookies over the fire, but he's sitting there cooking fish for them. And I'm going, what an amazing thing. Jesus and all that he's done, and we should be running to serve him like crazy. And here Jesus is going, no, I didn't come down here to be served. I came here but to serve. I'm going, what an amazing thing. When you read in Philippians chapter 2, it talks about how Jesus says, you know, I didn't think it was good for me to hold on to the things of God, but instead I let go of those and I came to earth here and I took the form of a servant. He was okay with the label, taking the role of a servant. That's what he wanted. That's our example, right? So what about us? Suppose we took the role of a servant. Suppose you decided to take the role of a servant in your family. What would that look like? You today, you're going, you know what? Jesus was a servant. He wants me to be a servant. And if I want to step up to the plate, I'm going to say today that in my family, I'm going to be the servant. That means me as a dad doesn't mean I'm making the kids do all the stuff. I'm looking for ways that I can serve my kids. When I get home from work, I'm tired and my hip hurts. And I'm going, I just want to get ice, put on that baby, and sit down, kick up my feet, and scratch the dog's head. That's what I want to do. That is what Brian liked. You guys are laughing. Yeah, that's what I like to do. And instead, I should be looking to be, if I'm choosing to take the role of a servant like Jesus did, I'm going to start looking around when I get home and say, what can I do to serve my wife? Don't tell her I said this because she's going to want me to do things for her now. But really, I need to do that. Now, I do look around sometimes, probably not enough. But I'm reading through this and I'm going, I ought to be more like Jesus. I ought to take that as a serious thing and say, what is my role? No, I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to do that in my family. What about being the employee that's a servant? What if you decide Jesus wants me to be just at church? Just with my family? Jesus wants us to go everywhere we go and to be servant. So say that you decided right now, I am going to be the employee that's a servant. You may be the boss. It's kind of fun when you're the boss over a few people. But God's going, I want you to be a servant. I want you, when you get to work every day, I want you to be the one that serves people with a smile. I want you to be the guy at work that when people come in, you look them in the eye and say, it is good to see you today. And by the way, thanks for doing a great job on that project. I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to be looking to see how I can build other people up. And I'm going, what if we had a church that was full of people that came in and said, you know what? When I go inside the building today, I'm going to be a servant. I'm not going to go in and look to be served. I'm not going to go in and go, I hope that pastor preaches a good sermon today. I hope they have the right songs that I really like. I hope that, boy, if four people don't come up and greet me today, I'm just going to leave that church because they're not friendly. Some people do that. And instead of that, go and come, be walking in and going, okay, I'm a servant. I want to be more like Jesus. God, open my eyes to people around me and help me to be a servant. Help me to see the issues people are having. Help me to go to that person. It's real easy for me to go up to James and go, James, good morning, James. It's good to see you. This is easy for me. I like James. He's hairier than I am, but I like James. It's really easy for me too. What's harder is when somebody else comes in that door that is not dressed like me, that maybe looks different, maybe acts different, maybe it's their first time, and maybe I'm just going, you know, I'd rather go say hi to James. I'm going, you know, I'm going to be God's servant. It may be awkward. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go up and say, good morning. I'm Brian Lynch. I am glad you were at Snyder Bible Church this morning. What is your name? And I'm going to try to remember that name. If you're like me, you're not very good, so I write their names down on my hand. I have to because I don't remember trying to be God's servant. You know, when you think about being God's servant, it is good for the people in the church. It is a great thing to do. But when you're a servant toward others, there's a couple of quotes here that I thought were just fantastic. There was one here that says, if there is a secret sauce that leads to a satisfying Christian life. I just like the way that began because I love secret sauces. They make all the difference in the world on food. I'm telling you. Chick-fil-A, man, try eating something without the filet sauce on it. It's just chicken. Chick-fil-A sauce, now we're talking. Okay, if there is a secret sauce that leads to a satisfying Christian life, it is learning how to serve one another in love. You want to have a satisfying Christian life? Learn how to serve one another in love. And that is an absolute truth. This world says, go out and try to make people serve you. And Jesus says, no, you go out into the world and you serve other people. That is the way you have that secret sauce, a satisfying life. There's another quote here that says, there are so many things we can do with our time, but serving is the one thing that brings unexpected joy. Sometimes when you're serving, you're going, I got to give up what I want to do to go serve and help somebody else. She's going, wait a minute, I'm not getting done what I want to do. I want to go sit down on my couch, scratch my dog's head, but that's what I want to do. But instead, I'm going to go and serve somebody else. And the unexpected part of that is after me going and serving somebody else, I'm the one that's full of joy. And nobody did anything for me. Have you ever helped somebody move that really needed help moving? Have you ever done that? And at the end of the day, you're going, I helped Tyler and Jamie move into their house not long ago. At the end of that day, I'm walking out, thanks, hey guys, it was a great day, let's leave. And I'm walking to my pickup, I'm going, man, was some of that stuff heavy. I am never helping a guy move a gun safe ever again. And I'm going, my goodness. But I walk out of there, and you know what? I just had this joy. Helping somebody else, giving of yourself, putting yourself out there. And I might have been a little sore, but on the inside, I was smiling. On my face, it was just like, you know, it feels good to help other people. And God says that. He says, that's what happens. There's been many studies out there that show that people that serve, that volunteer 100 or more hours a year, they are happier people. They are physically healthier people. They have a better outlook on stuff. And there was another interesting survey. And man, I'm not going to get to the last one. So, oh man, okay. But there's another survey out there where it talked about, they just took a bunch of people and they said, write down the names of 10 acquaintances. So people wrote down 10 acquaintances. Not 10 friends, 10 acquaintances, 10 people you know. Maybe some people at work, you ought to do this later. Write down the 10 acquaintances. And then it says, after they write down 10 acquaintances, I want you to either label them as happy or unhappy. Okay. All right. Bill, you were on my list. Happy. All right. So one of my neighbors, not happy. One of the fellow coworkers that does special ed with me, I've never seen somebody so unhappy. And I'm making your list. And then it says, after that, now go back and label them either as selfish or unselfish. And you know what they found out? That every time somebody was labeled as unselfish, guess what the label was beside them? Happy. Every single time. And it's going, man, being unselfish, giving of yourself. There's more I could do. I do want, I got 10 minutes. I cannot get into it. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. Isaiah chapter 58. It's interesting. We look to those studies and go, oh, so it does do people good to do good. When I'm good toward other people, it kind of has that boomerang effect and it makes me feel good and it helps me and makes me happy. It's where happiness happens. Well, it's yeah, that happens, but we had that promise from God a long time ago. Isaiah chapter 58. We're going to read verses 10 through 11. And it says this, and it says, and if you give yourself to the hungry, and if you satisfy the desire of the afflicted. Wait a second, does that sound like servanthood to you? If you give yourself to the hungry. People are hungry and stuff, and you're going to go do something to help them out, right? Give them food, whatever. And if you satisfy the desire of the afflicted, somebody that's hurting, somebody that life has been hard on, and you go help them, you go help satisfy the desires of them, and you help them out. That's servanthood, right? Well, what's going to happen? Then your light will rise in the darkness, and your gloom will become like the midday. And I'm going, at first I'm reading that, I'm going, this is kind of like me trying to understand Shakespeare. I'm not sure I can understand all that, but I'm looking at this, I'm going, so your light will rise in the darkness. There's something about this light that is on the inside of you that when you help other people, that light is going to rise in the darkness. And even though you're given of your own time and everything to help other people, your light's going to rise, and your gloom will become like midday. We know what it's like to have smog and blah in the morning. Usually by 10 or 11, though, what happens? It burns off and it clears up. Very rarely is it foggy in the middle of the day, unless you're from Seattle. If you are, this doesn't apply to you. It is terrible to midday all the time there. But here, by midday, the sun's shining almost every day. It's going, if you help other people, your gloom will become like the midday. Your gloom's going to disappear. In midday, it's going to be clear and sunshiny. And God's saying, you help other people, you serve other people, this is what happens. And then verse 11, it says, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy. Wait, oh, that's so cool. If I serve other people, it says God's going to continually guide me? What a cool thing. I spend my life trying to be a servant and not be served, try to do things that help other people and not just satisfy my own stuff, then God's going to go, I'm going to guide you. And then what's he going to do? And I'm going to satisfy your desire in scorched places. And I'm going to give strength to your bones. Oh my goodness, please, strength for my bones. Thank you, God. And then you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And you'll be like a watered garden? What's a watered garden like? It's lush. It's full of life. It's full of stuff growing. When there's a lush garden, there's a spot over here that doesn't have a garden. It just seems hot and parched. And you're just going, man, you come over here in the middle of that garden. And you have where water's been, and you have all these plants and animals and stuff, and plants and stuff. And you're going, wow, this is a lush place. This is a place full of life. And he goes, you know what? You help other people. I'm going to make it like you're full of life. And you're going to be a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Man, do you love water when it's really, really hot and you're parched outside? What a cool thing. And you're going to be like a spring that never fails. Have you ever worked really, really hard and then you run back? I used to do this. I worked on a ranch and I'd work really hard and then I'd go back to the pickup and I'd get a drink of cold water. You know what I'm saying? Then you work really hard and you go, man, I'm really parched. I can't wait to get back there. And you get back there and your water's gone. It's not there. And you're just going, man, I need it. Oh, I just, guess what? You help other people, you're going to be like a spring that never fails. There's going to be stuff there. God's going to take care of you. Guys, we're going to stop a couple minutes early, but next week we're going to talk about one, and I'm just going to start it just for a second. We're going to talk about accepting one another. And all I'm going to say about it before we'll come back and do it later is that accepting one another is it's another level. We've talked about bearing with one another. Well, that's all right. Skeet's a little weird. He does some weird things. I can bear with Skeet. I can do that, all right? You know what? There's some other people here a little strange. I won't mention any names. But, you know, some people like Kenny back there. I can not only just bear with him, but Kenny, I don't mind even greeting him on Sunday. I can go and greet Kenny. Not with a holy kiss, Kenny. Get that out of your mind. We're going to do the old fist bump or handshake, or I'll even give you a man hug, okay? Okay, I'm going to do that. I don't mind greeting him. When we talk about this next one, about accepting one another. Guys, this is another level. This is about welcoming into one's heart. Welcoming into one's fellowship. And as Paul's talking about things here, he's saying, you know what? I want unity to happen in your church. In order for that to happen, I want you to bear with one another. I want you to greet one another. But I want you to go another level deeper. I want you to learn to accept one another. And when we come back, it is the coolest Greek word I have found yet. Most of the Greek words I can't pronounce. This one's called proslambano. And that's probably not even close. But that's the way it's spelled. So proslambano. We are supposed to proslambano each other. And that's what we're going to talk about later because we don't have time to explain proslambano. We'll do that another time. Let's have a word of prayers today. Father God, we are so thankful for your love for us, and we're thankful that you didn't leave us here without directions. We could be wandering around in this world, and we could be trying to satisfy what we need inside by trying to do what the world says, and that's by trying to have people serve us. That's by trying to get in all the stuff we can. You care so much about it. You said, I want you to know how to enjoy life, and the way you do that is that you give. You serve other people. Thank you for giving us that truth so that every day we can get up and we can choose the role of a servant like you did. And we can make a difference in somebody else's life. But as we do that, the promise from you is that you are going to help us be happy and you're going to guide us. We're going to be like a well-watered garden. I am thankful that you give us that truth. Would you please guide in the service to follow, and especially guide today as we're going to be doing our yearly meeting this afternoon. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.